Our first reading this morning comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. If you'd like to follow along, you'll find it on page 168 of the Hebrew Bible. Hear these words. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You shall heed such a prophet. This is what you requested of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, If I hear the voice of the Lord my God any more, or ever again see this great fire, I will die. Then the Lord replied to me, They are right in what they have said. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their own people. I will put my words in the mouth of the prophet who shall speak to them everything that I command. Anyone who does not heed the words that the prophet shall speak in my name, I myself will hold accountable. But any prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, or who presumes to speak in my name a word that I have not commanded the prophet to speak, that prophet shall die. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Told Will this week that this is kind of neat building up to the, and I have to say thank you to Kathy Moton for encouraging the youth group to get involved in the Super Bowl of caring, because it gives me a couple weeks to show up at church wearing a football jersey. Cool. So that's why if you see all the football jerseys around today, this is not casual attire, this is promotion. So and so getting to that point, I think it's appropriate, the scripture I'm reading today, Paul happens to be talking about food. Hear now the words of Paul in his letter to the Corinthians. If you'd like to follow along, it's on page 160 in the New Testament. Now concerning food sacrificed to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Anyone who claims to know something does not yet have the necessary knowledge, but anyone who loves God is known by him. Hence, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that no idol in the world really exists, and that there is no God but one. Indeed, even though there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as in fact there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, for whom are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. It is not everyone, however, who has this knowledge. Since some have become so accustomed to idols until now, they still think of the food they eat as food offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not bring us close to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and we are no better off if we do. But take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if others see you who possess knowledge eating in the temple of an idol, might they not, since their conscience is weak, be encouraged to the point of eating food sacrificed to idols? So by your knowledge, those weak believers for whom Christ died are destroyed. But when you thus sin against members of your family and wound their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food is a cause of their falling, I will never eat meat so that I may not cause one of them to fall. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The gospel lesson for today comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Mark. Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. You will find that in your pew Bible in the New Testament on page 33. So hear this story of Jesus Christ. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, it's usually my custom to jump out from behind the pulpit, but today, in the interest of time and the reason of articulating my message, I'm going to stay here and preach from here. You know, for these four Sundays of February, as you may have figured out, we're going to have our stewardship emphasis month. I will continue to use the lectionary for each of these Sundays, but my sermons will usually not be related directly to the scripture. Instead, during this month, I want to focus on stewardship in its many forms. And primarily, I want to talk to you about our commitment to Jesus Christ. Today, we'll talk about the value of that commitment and what it means to us. Next Sunday, we'll discuss those things which keep us from making a greater commitment to Christ. We'll talk about our fears and our hesitation. On February 15th, that third Sunday, Melba Taylor and I will be talking about the mechanics of making that commitment, some of the nitty-gritty elements of giving back to God. And finally, on that fourth Sunday, Commitment Sunday, it's also Transfiguration Sunday. We'll discuss how we are blessed in this covenant with our Lord. And on that day, I will ask you to make a pledge to God through this church for the following year. Yes, we're going to talk about stewardship, and yes, we're going to talk about money, because Jesus so often throughout the Bible talks to us about money. But already in this message, I've used the word commitment a number of times, and for very good reason. Commitment is the foundation, it's the anchor of any true relationship. Human commitment of one variety is given the name of marriage. A sacred covenant made between two people that's set up to last a lifetime. In a few minutes, Jim and Judy Malise will come forward to reaffirm their wedding vows and their marriage covenant with each other in our liturgy right here this morning. But the commitment that God made with us when God created all of humankind is also called a covenant. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines a covenant as a usually formal, solemn, and binding agreement. God promised that God would love us unconditionally for all time and asks in return only that we try to follow the teachings and the lifestyle of Jesus Christ. God has made an everlasting commitment to us, God's people, and we are asked to strengthen our commitment to God so that it becomes the primary relationship in our lives. This commitment and this covenant are the basis of the peace and justice within God's kingdom. I want you to think about this world in which we live and how we interact with each other. The currency of our secular society is money. But the currency of God's kingdom is love. Jesus lived in the world of human beings, but he was of the heavenly world. Jesus was both fully human, but also fully divine. But you know, we, on the other hand, as Homo sapiens, as human creatures, are only human. And we're trying to follow Jesus Christ. The secular world is often in direct opposition to God's kingdom, yet we Christians need to find a way to navigate our way through this life by living and working in both worlds at the very same time. The value of our commitment to God in this human-divine covenant is that we play a role in God's vision for the world. As we read throughout the Scripture, God has a design for all of creation. God's kingdom began when Jesus was on the earth preaching and healing people like we read about this morning. And God's kingdom is right here and right now in partial form. At the end of time, Jesus will return and we will be ushered into a new age, the new heaven and the new earth that's talked about in the book of Revelation. At that time, God's kingdom will come to full fruition, a time of universal peace and justice and harmony. But in the meantime, God has called each of us to play our part in the realization of God's kingdom right here on earth. We do this individually and collectively as the body of Christ. Each of us needs to commit all of our gifts. All these gifts have come from God. We need to commit those gifts to this endeavor of God's kingdom. And as each of us vowed when we claimed membership in the United Methodist Church, we need to commit our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness to Jesus Christ. And that, my brothers and sisters, also includes a chunk of our money as well. The Bible spells out quite clearly that each of us should commit 10% of all that we have from God. This is what's called a tithe. And we'll be talking about tithing more next Sunday. But today, as we consider the value of this commitment to Jesus Christ, I want to share with you my vision for this church. After being here for more than 2.5 years, I believe that what I'm about to say is truly what God would have us do together to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Now, these things in my visions are intertwined, but let me bundle them in 3 different categories. First of all, I want you to think about the future of our worship of God. I believe that we're going to work together over the next 3 to 5 years for some major improvements to our building that will impact all of our ministries. I think that these improvements will give us a better opportunity for worshiping God and helping ourselves and each other grow in our commitment to Christ. I think sooner rather than later, you'll see new carpet in this entire building, a work of the trustees and a capital campaign. I think that very soon you'll see new televisions and DVD players mounted on the walls of each classroom. I believe that we will have a multimedia projection and sound system with a large screen right here in the sanctuary. And I believe that we will see the complete refurbishment of our 100-year-old pipe organ. Second of all, the future of our congregation. I believe that Burns Church will continue to be a place where people can come to further their walk with Jesus Christ by studying Scripture and wrestling with theology in this postmodern world. We will continue to be a friendly, welcoming church that shares the radical hospitality of Jesus Christ. I think soon we will be a congregation that fully reflects the racial and cultural kaleidoscope of Aurora and Denver. We will continue to be a mixture of mature people, young parents with kids, and people of all stages of life. Burns Church will continue to be known as a seminary for ministerial leaders and fledgling congregations in the aspect that seminary means seedbed. We will grow new churches and new leaders. The Tonga Fellowship and the Ghana Wesley United Methodist Fellowship will have grown and matured and become independent charged churches in their own rights. We will have the traditional worship service, but we will also experiment with more communion services, with prayer services, and with other worship and musical and artistic styles. And we will have a bilingual service in both English and Spanish, and we will be a place where most people speak both languages. And thirdly, the future of our missions and ministry. At the very core of everything we do and everything that we are a missionary people. sent out by God into the world to share the good news of Jesus Christ and to share the love of God in real and tangible ways, just like what the youth group is doing today with the Super Bowl of Karen. Burns Church will be known as a church that believes passionately in the peace and justice of God's kingdom, and will be known as a church that works tirelessly to bring about that kingdom with the least, the last, and the lost. A majority of our congregation will be personally involved in hands-on mission projects outside of the church. We will have found a more comfortable niche in our local community. We'll continue with our work with ECHO, the Habitat for Humanity, with the Aurora Interchurch Task Force, the Aurora Crop Hunger Walk, and other nearby service providers. We will be part of that total package. And I believe soon we will sponsor mission trips to places far away every year, places like Africa or Korea or China, youth groups and adult groups alike. My brothers and sisters, today is the beginning of a future that God has in store for Burns Memorial United Methodist Church. This is the beginning of our collective vision for becoming the people of the kingdom that God wants us to be. But I tell you, people, I need your help in making this vision a reality. I need each of us to make a full 100% commitment to Jesus Christ. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we can indeed move the world forward toward the completion of God's kingdom on earth. Let it be so. Amen.